Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Mark chapter 16 and read again at verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. When the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, we read that he commissioned them to spread the good news of salvation. Last Sabbath evening, we considered the power of Christ in commissioning his servants to make disciples of all nations. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The head of the church has commanded his apostles and the ministers of the gospel following them to teach all nations or make disciples of all nations to the exclusion of none and to preach the glad tidings of the gospel to all. Not only every nation, but every creature, or the whole creation. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or the whole creation. Everyone is to hear the gospel. The objective is not to simply bring the gospel into the hearing of every individual, but that each one who hears might become a disciple of Christ, that they would be taught to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded. The gospel is to reach every creature, every nation, the whole world, even as the waters cover the sea. The Lord Jesus, immediately before he ascended into heaven, again directs his apostles. He assures them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How precious is the gospel! It is the good news of salvation. We proclaim that a Savior has come into the world to save sinners. We announce to you this good news. There is hope for you. You deserve the vengeance and the wrath of God for your sin. But friend, you don't need to lie down in sorrow, because to you is the word of this salvation sent. Eternal life through Christ the Mediator is preached to you. And if you accept the good news of salvation, then you will be saved. You are invited. Yes, you are commanded. You are invited to trust in Christ, the one who is proclaimed, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus has all power to give this call. He has all power to commission his servants to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He has the authority to make this declaration, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Here we have, with the Lord's help, first of all, the extent of the gospel. The extent of the gospel, that is, the extent of the commission to preach the gospel, it's to the whole world. Not just to Judea and Samaria, but to the uttermost part of the earth. The extent of the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the second place, we would notice the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. In the third place, we have the ultimatum of the gospel. The good news is proclaimed, salvation is offered, and we are accountable for our response to it. If we believe, we are saved. If we do not believe, we are lost. There is the ultimatum. So these 3 points tonight, with the Lord's help, as we would consider the precious gospel and the great commission to preach the gospel, the extent of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and the ultimatum of the gospel. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The extent, the preaching, and the ultimatum. First of all, we have the extent. Go ye into all the world. Not just part of it, but geographically, it is the whole globe. Wherever there are people in the world to preach to, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples when he appeared to them, he directed them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So there they were, the 11 apostles. They were directed to preach everywhere, beginning first with Jerusalem. And part of the reason that the gospel was preached first in Jerusalem was that testimony would be given to the greatness of the gospel as it is able to save even those who crucify the Lord. Yes, the gospel is able to save the chief of sinners. The Lord had commanded the apostles to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was then that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People from various countries heard in their own language the wonderful works of God. And Peter explained to them that what was taking place was the effect of this wonderful truth that Christ was risen and exalted and had now given the Spirit. On that day, as you know, 3,000 souls received the word. And these were people from various countries. And doubtless some of these would go back to their own country and spread the good news of the gospel to their friends and their families. But then the church was persecuted. But the Lord used that to spread the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, that the church was persecuted. Then the disciples were forced to scatter about throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and the seed of the gospel would be scattered about as well. Philip the evangelist went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and then he was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch, who went away rejoicing. Peter was sent to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, a non-Jew. And we read about those who were scattered in the persecution, that they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, and some preached to the Grecians in Antioch, and they were first called Christians there. But it was Paul the Apostle who would be the great missionary to the Gentiles, and his hope was to go as far as to Spain. Whether or not he reached Spain or not, it is certain that Paul went to Rome proclaiming the gospel, just as he said, So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so the great gospel commission was being fulfilled. And today, Christianity is the world's largest religion. But as long as there are those who have still not heard of Christ, the church must continue to obey the command of Christ. Go out and preach to the world, preaching the gospel. And if you think about places where the gospel has been embraced, and at least in decades gone by, they were called Christian nations, yet it has to be remembered that very often in these places, the gospel is lacking in its purity. The pure gospel is not there. So there is so much work still to be done. The Savior is directing us to obey His command, to fulfill the commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Or the words can be translated, the whole creation. It doesn't mean the natural world. The ministers do not preach to forests and mountains and oceans, but to all creation as far as people are concerned, those whom God has created with minds who can think and souls that can respond, that are capable of being saved. They are dead in trespasses and sins, but they have ears to hear, and they are commanded to hear. So, all creation, preach the gospel to every creature. Here it is coextensive with the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or to all creation. Every individual, in other words, all the nations of the world, the whole world, that means every creature, every individual, sinners of mankind, all sinners should hear the gospel message. It is the duty of the servants of the Lord to preach the gospel to everyone. When the Lord said, all nations, the words mean what they say. And the young are included as well as the old. Children belong to nations just as much as adults do. So whatever condition it is, the gospel is to be preached to sinners of every condition. Those who are weak, those who are powerful, the politicians as well as to the peasants, those who are rich and those who are poor. No condition was excluded from this great commission to preach the gospel to every creature. Those who are sophisticated, people in Athens people at Mars Hill, whether they would mock or whether they would be interested, they were to hear the gospel. Those who are ignorant, those who are uncultured, like people in Galatia perhaps, or the barbarians in Mileta, everyone was to hear the gospel. And sinners tonight are to hear the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is to be proclaimed in every age. As the Lord Jesus said after giving the charge, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." If He is with His church to the end of the age, which is what the words mean, then in every age, the church is to carry on the work of preaching the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature unto the end of time, to the end of the age, and none are excluded. All who hear the gospel are invited to come to Christ and are directed to do so. So, it is the duty of ministers to preach to everyone. And every single individual who hears the gospel must comply. When we speak about the free offer, it is not the case that it is something that may either be accepted or rejected, although that is the effect. But the free offer of the gospel brings before us a duty to accept. It's not optional. We are not given a suggestion. We are given a duty. But it is wonderful to think that the gospel offer is universal. Some make the qualification Christ is offered to everyone who hears the gospel. But is that needful? Perhaps there may be some reason they have. Maybe they think that if we say the universal offer, that might give the impression that the gospel is for those who do not hear, or they are invited who do not even hear the gospel. But that's an impossibility at any rate. It's impossible to offer salvation to those who do not hear it. But everyone should hear it as far as the duty of the church is concerned. It is clearly the duty of the church or the ministers in the church to offer Christ to everyone. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the extent of the commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation, every creature. So what is the essence of the commission? It is to preach. Preach the gospel. Go thou and preach the gospel. So we come in the second place to consider the preaching of the gospel. We looked at the extent of the gospel. Now we notice we consider the preaching of the gospel. So the gospel, the precious gospel. What does this word mean, gospel? The English word, gospel, is derived from two words, good and spell or tale. In other words, good tale or good story. That's the English word. But isn't that what the gospel is? The wonderful story of Christ coming into the world to die for sinners, to save them from their sins. That is a good story to tell. It's a true story. Away with the fiction. God brings us the true account of a Savior coming into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful saying. Now, the Greek word gospel, as you most likely know, means almost the same thing. It means good news or glad tidings. Or even good message. Good message. As we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, speaking of a slightly different subject, of course, about God Himself, who He is, the Apostle says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." That's the message that we bring you. God is light. He is holy. He is without unrighteousness. But here is the message in regard to the good news of salvation. Ministers are messengers bringing to sinners the good news. The message of salvation. It is the message of salvation that, as we already said, Paul calls that faithful saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Just as Paul the Apostle said in the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia, he says to the brethren there who met at the synagogue, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." So the gospel is good news, or the good message, and ministers are messengers bringing the message of salvation into the hearing of sinners. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Proclaim the good news to all creation. Why is the gospel good news? Well, of course it is good news because we are in a sad condition. We should be very unhappy when we think about our condition. When you consider the condition of people, why the gospel is good news. We are hell deserving. We are under God's wrath and curse. In a moment, the earth is ready to open up her mouth and swallow us up, as it were, and we would drop into hell. And so when salvation is proclaimed to us, it is good news. It is a good message. Are you not longing to hear more of it? You ask, Is there hope for a poor sinner like me, trembling lest lightning should strike and you be sent into the blackness of darkness forever? Yes, there is hope. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yes, it is good news. It is good news when you hear about the love of God, for God so loved the world. He loved in this way. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, though we deserve to perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is good news. Is it good news to you? Is it good news to me? Christ the Savior, Christ the Savior, He would be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He is the one who is preached. He is the one who is proclaimed. Jesus Christ and what He has done for sinners. We preach to you a Savior who has come, Jesus the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, who assumed a human nature into union with His divine person. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, and was born of her yet without sin. Here is good news, a Savior, a sinless Savior has come. The Son of God has come in the flesh. And in His human nature, He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, performing miracle after miracle, teaching in parables, teaching the people, teaching His apostles that they may convey the good news to others. And He sent out the 70 going to preach. And the Lord Jesus, in His own commission, He was fulfilling the conditions of the covenant of grace. God the Father assigned to Him this work of redemption and saving sinners by His work, which was to fulfill the law, obey the commandments. And we read that the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. You hear sometimes the preaching about the Ten Commandments and the duties required. And you say, I come so far short. Yes, we do. But Jesus kept the Ten Commandments, all of them perfectly. He fulfilled the law, and God is well pleased for His righteousness' sake, for He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But not only did Jesus obey the law, He suffered the penalty of the law, which is death. He suffered and exhausted the curse of the law. God hath made Him to be a curse for us. God hath made Him to be sin for us. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, says the prophet Isaiah. So Christ was standing in the room and place of guilty sinners. He had come to take the place of the guilty. And we read that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, we know that He died for His people whom God chose from eternity, but think of this, they were not good people. They were unrighteous. They were ungodly. So lay hold of this. Think about this for a moment. Jesus is the sinner's substitute. There is no other substitute for the sinner but Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. testified in due time, proclaimed in due time, preached in due time, preached in Auckland tonight. Are you hearing for eternity? There will be eternal consequences as to how you hear. Hear and your soul shall live. Hear because we bring you good news, glad tidings of great joy that Jesus came from heaven to earth to obey the law, to suffer God's wrath and curse, to satisfy divine justice, to fulfill all righteousness, and we proclaim to you a Savior who is offered to you freely to be your Savior, your Savior. Here is the good news of salvation. Jesus Christ, He is the one who is preached, proclaimed, this person, the one who is offered to us freely as our prophet, priest, and king, our prophet to teach us. You say, I'm ignorant. Well, He's a prophet to teach you. I'm guilty. Here's a priest to make atonement for your sins. I feel unruly. My stubborn will won't comply. I know I should, but my heart doesn't want to. Well, here's a king who is able to subdue you to himself and rule over you and defend you and restrain and conquer all his and your enemies. Salvation, full and free, is offered to you. And this is the one, and the salvation that He came to provide is offered to you freely. And ministers are sent out to preach peace by Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Peter told Cornelius, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Do you long for peace? Well, Jesus has made peace by the blood of His cross. When His blood was shed, it was so that He might turn away the wrath of God and so procure peace and pardon for sinners. Is this not what you and I stand in need of? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is offered to you freely. When Paul was there in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, to you is forgiveness of sins proclaimed through this man whom I'm preaching to you. Through this man, to you, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. To you. Through this man, to you, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. This is the glorious offer of salvation that is proclaimed to you. Forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. Peace by the blood of Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. Sometimes these three English words, preach the gospel, comes from the one word in the Greek, evangelize. Evangelize. Preach good news, good tidings. But here the words are distinct. The gospel is one word, and the word preach is a separate word. Preach or proclaim the gospel or the good news. Preach the good news. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. The gospel is publicly announced to everyone. Here is an authoritative proclamation. The word preach here means to be a herald, officiate as a herald, to proclaim after the manner of a herald, one who's a public crier. But listen to this, always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. The gospel comes with good news, but the gospel comes with authority, and you are offered life and salvation, but you are not left to your own choice as to decide what is good for you. The gospel is good for you, and you must comply. So when the Savior said, preach the gospel, He was saying that we should make an authoritative announcement of His salvation, that He came to provide for sinners, an authoritative announcement of the salvation and the sinner's duty to embrace it. Yes, my friends, preaching is the ordained means of salvation. Even though the world despises the cross of Christ, despises the gospel, the world despises a crucified Savior, yet God has ordained the preaching of the cross to be the means of salvation. God will save sinners, and it will be through the preaching of a crucified Savior. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, what the world deems foolishness. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So you see the necessity of preaching the gospel. Paul asks in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? You can't believe in a Savior that you have not heard about. You cannot accept a Savior that has not been offered to you. Well, here is the importance of preaching, so that sinners might hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God proclaimed. Preaching the gospel is important. Why? Primarily because Christ, the head of the church, has prescribed it. We're not left to our own devices as to how to reach out to sinners. Not when we are given a clear command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's the duty to preach the gospel to every creature. Not just to some. We don't pick and choose. Who should hear the gospel? Preach the gospel to every creature. Some people try to debate about what the free offer of the gospel is based upon. What is it grounded in? How can you preach to every person? Not every person is going to be saved. How can you possibly preach to everyone? What is the free offer of the gospel based upon? Is it the sufficiency of the atonement? We know that Jesus did not die to take away the sins of everyone, but we know that his work on Calvary has intrinsic, infinite value. And certainly the sufficiency of the atonement is our great encouragement to go and preach. We know that Jesus' blood and righteousness can save anyone and everyone. But however the theologians may debate the issue, we know what our duty is. There is no question as to how we should proceed. Christ has told us plainly what to do. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature, to all creation, without discrimination. We are not selective in our preaching. We don't try to find out who are the elect and then preach to them. We don't look for some yellow mark on the neck of a person and say, that's the mark of an elect person. We'll go and preach to him or her. No, we don't try to find out who are the elect and then preach to them. We preach to sinners as such. And even the elect, they will all come to Christ, but they won't know that they're elect until they come to Christ. And the elect had to come first as nothing but guilty sinners without any other warrant to receive Christ but the fact that the Word commands them to do so. Here is the free offer, the offer of the gospel. You might say, well, I'm not convinced enough in order to come to the Savior. I need to see more of my sins. I don't know enough. I'm not convinced enough. Well, there is no qualification. Only believe in Jesus. Receive the good news. Whether you are convinced of your sins or not, you have the warrant of the Word of God to come to the Savior, to receive and rest on Christ for salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Salvation is absolutely free. If we try to pay for our sins by bringing our good works then that will be rejected. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners who have nothing to pay. They are in debt. They have no money. They cannot bring any price. They cannot pay for their sins. They cannot win the favor of God. So there is no qualification, not even conviction of sin. Don't make a qualification out of anything. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It does not say that he came to save convinced sinners. It says sinners. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Yes, here is how near God brings salvation to the sinner. Through this man to you, Christ has come to you. He brings forgiveness of sins to you. Only don't turn away from this offer. Don't refuse this offer of salvation. It is offered freely to you. Life and salvation are yours in the offer. Life and salvation are yours in possession when you receive it. So we hold out salvation to you. We set before you the way of salvation. Christ, who is the way. Christ is the prophet, priest, and king. And he is your Savior in the offer. He is offered to you to be your Savior, freely offered. And he will be your Savior in possession when you receive him. Only receive Christ, and he is your Savior in actual fact. And it is your duty to receive him, to welcome him, and not turn your back on him. The Apostle John, the beloved Apostle, says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is not an option, it is a command. Salvation is offered to you, but not so that you can reject it. It's not that kind of offer. It is presented to you for your acceptance, that you would embrace it, that you would lean upon Christ as your Savior for eternity. And again, whatever your condition is, we present to you a Savior for all conditions. You say, I don't know enough. I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know much about the gospel. Well, I'll teach you right now all that you need to know in order to be saved. You right now, as well as all of us, are a sinner, deserving God's wrath and curse. We deserve that. Jesus came to save sinners by suffering on the cross and dying for them to satisfy the justice of God. And Jesus calls you now to trust in him for that salvation. And if you believe in him, you will be saved from the wrath and curse of God. There is salvation offered to you. That's the way of salvation. Now you know, my friend, enough in order to be saved. The gospel has been preached to a poor sinner like you. There is hope for you and me tonight. You say, I have been negligent. I've been indifferent to the claims of God. I'm not feeling these things like I should be. I'm easily given to distraction. But the gospel is for sinners. And we preach to you as a sinner. If you trust in the Savior of sinners, no matter how dull or how indifferent you have been, you will be saved if you trust in Jesus. Whether you are rich or poor, you are not excluded from the gospel offer. You say, all these things are against me. God must be against me because I'm going through so much trouble in my life. No, the Savior is for you in the offer of the gospel. He came to save sinners like you. He is presented to you, offered to you tonight. Only receive Him and don't turn your back on Him, and you are saved. So Jesus came to save sinners of all types, rich and poor. You are not excluded from the offer of salvation. Your money won't buy you salvation. Come as a poor sinner to Jesus. Your lack of money won't keep you from salvation. Come to Him and be rich. Whether you are young or old, you're not too old for the good news of salvation. You're not too young. You're not too young to die and perish in hell. You are not too young to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Whether you are hardened, backslidden, whatever your condition, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul says, of whom I am chief. Paul persecuted the church. He was mad against the Christians. He was terrorizing them. But Jesus came to save sinners, and He saved Saul of Tarsus and made him the great missionary to the Gentiles. You say, I'm so anxious in my soul. I feel so guilty in the wrath of God burning against me. I'm so distracted by my guilt and the terrors of wrath, I can't even begin to think about salvation and the way of salvation. Well, my friend, be thankful that you are not yet in hell. Be thankful that a Savior is proclaimed to you through this man to you. Forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. We preach the gospel to every creature. Can you identify yourself with this class, every creature? Whatever your case is, however terrible you feel, look to Him that you may be saved, because the gospel call is to everyone. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Yes, however the hearers respond, it is the duty of the minister to preach and to keep preaching. Whether you hear or forbear, the minister must go to the sinner, whatever the sinner's condition, and tell them that salvation is offered to you individually, as if no one else existed on the planet. Salvation is offered to you tonight. Receive Him. Trust in Him. Don't reject Him. And may the Holy Spirit work in your heart and break your fallow ground, that His seed, the seed of the Word, would be firmly planted in your soul. Yes, life, spiritual life and salvation are offered to you freely. Do not turn away Christ. Do not exclude yourself. The gospel doesn't exclude you. Don't exclude yourself, but receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation. Yes, you in particular are being invited and called upon to accept this salvation, the salvation that Christ has worked out by suffering and dying. Come into the fullness of this salvation, the fullness of it, the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The Apostle Paul says this is a faithful saying, that familiar saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says it's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all credit. Believe it to be true. Count on it. And he also says it is worthy of all, not some, worthy of all acceptation. Everybody should embrace it. Everyone ought to accept it, to lean upon it, trust in it. It is worthy of your embrace tonight. It is so glorious that everybody should receive it. They must accept it. And those who do not, they will have to face the alternative. And that brings us to consider the great ultimatum. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Here is the final proposition. Here is the last great demand. If you reject this, all entreaty will end. A different course of action will take place. Those who reject the offer of salvation will be eternally condemned. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. My friend, the gospel is the only hope for you. Paul says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The Greeks consider it foolishness. How can you be saved by a slave dying on a cross? They don't understand it. It's foolishness to them. The Jews seek after a sign. Show us a sign. We want to see a miracle. Are you like Herod tonight? Show me something amazing. I've heard the gospel so many times. I want to see a miraculous event, something that will change my life, something so dramatic it will just make me a different person. You're looking in the wrong direction. The Jews seek after a sign, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Greeks, foolishness. To the Jews, it is something that they turn away from, a stumbling block. But to us who are saved, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And my friend, faith in Jesus Christ is the instrument of salvation. The gospel bringing before you the good news of salvation, Christ dying for sinners to save them. The gospel is the only hope. The Lord Jesus is the only door of salvation. Faith is the only instrument of salvation. Then it is imperative that you believe in Him. If you don't, you're lost. Here is the final condition. Here is the great ultimatum. If you ignore this call, the call of Christ and the gospel, there is no hope for you. If you believe, you will be saved. If you do not believe, you will be damned. So, the gospel is bringing before you life and death. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. Jesus does, not the minister in Auckland behind the pulpit here. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. And Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, the great need to trust in Jesus. We must take this salvation to ourselves. It's not enough just to hear the free offer of the gospel and to hear these kind words that the minister might say from time to time that Jesus is your Savior in the offer. Oh, He needs to be your Savior in possession. You need Jesus in your soul. And so you need to believe in Him. Faith is the gift of God. Precious faith, brought in the heart by the Spirit, in the heart of a sinner. Yes, worked in the heart, produced in the heart by the Word and Spirit of God. Faith involves knowledge. You need to know who you're to believe in. You've heard about Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. To accept it to be true, Jesus came to save sinners, and it will do you no good to say to think that Jesus is offered to your friend next to you sitting in the pew, but He's not offered to me. No, He's offered to you tonight. You need to lay hold of that truth. Jesus is offered to me. To me tonight. I need to receive Him. And if I don't, I'm guilty of rejecting Him. Jesus has offered to you? Yes, assent to the truth and trust in Jesus. It is to consent to be saved by Jesus and His blood and righteousness, to acknowledge you have nothing of your own. Your good works will not save you. You're not strong enough to win the favor of God by your goodness. You have no goodness. I have no goodness. Jesus is good. Jesus is righteous. And it's His righteousness that's the foundation of a sinner's acceptance with God. And you're to rely on that foundation. Lean upon the arm of the Beloved. Lean on Jesus. Look away from other sources. There's no other source, but faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest on Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the Gospel. Yes, faith is the instrument of receiving this glorious salvation. Faith alone saves. It is not by loving God that you will be saved. It's by believing in Jesus that you will be saved. But while faith saves alone, faith is not on its own. Listen to these words carefully. While faith saves alone, faith is not on its own. Faith is the alone instrument of receiving salvation, but if faith exists, there will be the fruits of faith. There will be obedience. No one is truly saved who doesn't also have love for God. No one is truly saved who does not also seek to obey Jesus. So these other graces are the evidence of faith. And where there is faith, there will be the fruits of faith. There will be the evidence of faith. And that evidence of faith includes baptism. And so Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Baptism is an ordinance of Christ. He has commanded us to submit to this ordinance. Obedience to the ordinances of Christ is evidence of faith. We're not His people if we don't obey Him. And for believers to be baptized, well, this is a clear command of Christ. Baptism involves confessing Christ. And as the Apostle says, those who believe in their heart and confess Jesus with their mouth, they are saved. So where there is faith in the heart, there will be confession with the lips. Those who believe in Christ will confess Him. And if they don't confess Him, then that is the evidence that they have not believed in Him. Because faith always includes the fruits of faith. And the fruit of faith is obedience to Christ. So Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But He does not say that those who are not baptized will go to hell. Faith and the fruits of faith are not on the same level. He says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Faith is the instrument of salvation. Unbelief is the cause of damnation. So, my friend, Jesus is stating that baptism is important, and those who neglect it endanger their souls. But unbelief is the cause of damnation. Those who do not come to Christ are lost. And the reason they are not saved is because they refuse the gospel offer. My friends, see the great sin of rejecting Christ. Oh, how can you measure the greatness of this sin? To reject God's offer of salvation. This offer is what you need. It is that which cost the Son of God's blood and agony on the cross. To reject the offer of salvation is to reject God's great kindness. It is to slight His wonderful mercy. What an affront to God. How highly provoking to God to refuse Christ and to say that His death means nothing to you. It is to say that Christ died in vain. And how heinous to say Christ died in vain. His blood means nothing. His agony, His sorrow, His sweat means nothing to you. That's an affront to God. He that believeth not shall be damned. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Oh, that's how serious it is. And you see, rejection of Christ is the reason gospel hearers go to hell. Unbelief is the cause of condemnation. The Lord does not say, he that is not baptized will be damned. He that believeth not, that is why he will be condemned. The person who has heard the gospel but rejected it will perish. You say, why did that man who heard the gospel go to hell? Was it because he never came to the Lord's table? No, because he did not believe in Jesus. Why did that woman go to hell? Was it because she did not come to the prayer meeting? No, it's because she did not come to Jesus. Oh, the rejection of Christ is that great damning sin, the sin that seals the punishment of all our sins. Unbelief is excluding ourselves from the only hope of salvation. It is soul murder. Rejecting Christ keeps you under God's abiding wrath. Believing in Christ introduces you into the fullness of salvation. It introduces you into the love and fellowship with God. It is to be saved from endless agony and suffering. It is to be brought to enjoy endless bliss in glory. Believing in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you do not believe, you will be lost. You will be condemned to all eternity. There is the great final demand. Believe and be saved. Reject Christ and be lost. Having considered the extent of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and the ultimatum of the gospel, friend, I set before you life and death. Choose life and not death. Here, my friend, here, and your soul will live. The great commission brings before you the great ultimatum. The free offer of the gospel. It has been sounding in your ears. How can you pass by this offer? How can you ignore it and so bring down wrath upon your head? Why will ye die, O house of Israel, when the way is made so plain to you? When hope is being held out to you, there is hope for the lost, there's a Savior for the perishing. You say, I'm dead in trespasses and sins, I can't come to Jesus. Oh friend, make no excuse for your unbelief. Christ offers you living water. He offers you the aid of the Holy Spirit. You say, I'm too great a sinner. I deserve to be cast out forever. Yes, you do. So do I. But Jesus never turns away anyone who comes to Him. He will not exclude you. The gospel doesn't exclude you. Don't exclude yourself. All you need is in Him. All His love is offered to you. The unspeakable favor of God is offered to you. Joy in the Holy Ghost is offered to you. And He offers salvation to you on easy terms. You think you have to come up to these awful high terms? when you just need to fall down into His arms, what can be easier than resting? That's all that is required. Leaning, resting on Jesus for salvation. Don't say that He doesn't really mean to give you eternal life. That's just too good to be true. When Jesus offers salvation, He means what He says. And He is angry with you. If you don't receive it, that is proof that He is sincere. It is a well-intended offer. Come and receive this salvation. He is willing to give salvation. He cares, my friend. He is a compassionate Savior. He loves to save sinners. We read that He will have all men to be saved. Saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God delights in saving sinners. His arms are stretched out wide, open to you, and He is watching for the sinner's reaction. His ambassadors are calling you. They're pleading with you. They don't want you to perish. Their hearts are in anguish for you, and they sometimes care more about you than you do yourself. They love you more than you really love yourself. You don't really love yourself. If you're not coming to Jesus, you're shutting yourself out from salvation. Oh, friend, do yourself a favor and trust in the Savior. And you'll be saved. Come to Jesus. He is the one who is calling. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David, there is safety in him. He gave his life a ransom for many. He died for the ungodly. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he finds the sinner, he rejoices over him like the shepherd who says, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' And he says, 'I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth.' He rejoices over the sinner saved, and he tells his servants, 'Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.'" May he bless his word.